This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
It was an honor to be part of it, but thank you for your generosity from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much. Crazy day today on Capitol Hill. A number of different things going on, but there's a... There's a whole thing about the deportation orders that's happening as we have these judges right now who are debating this, and they're saying the ridiculous things, you know, like Nazi prisoners were treated better than Trump's treating the people on the deportation flights, and I mean just craziness like that. But well, I'll get into some of that with you as the show goes on today, and then Chuck Schumer does not know where he wants to be right now when he grows up. He doesn't know if he wants to be the guy who's part of the resistance. Does Chuck Schumer want to be the guy who is working with Trump to do what he has to do to save the country? Because you've got clips of Chuck Schumer out there saying this is a constitutional crisis and we need to make sure that Donald Trump is removed from office. And you've got clips of Chuck Schumer saying, I had to keep the government open. I had to do what we had to do. I had to put the country first. And then that's why there's so much pushback against him, because people are angry in his own party that he helped Trump. They just want the resistance. But you could come out and you could say, look, I'm going to help Trump. I'm going to help Trump succeed. I'm going to help Trump win. I want Trump to win because I think it's really, really important for, I mean, not to win, but for America to win. I think it's really, really important for our country if we get things done. You could do that. There's a lane for Democrats to actually go down if they want to do that and say, you know, I'm going to put the country first. I don't like Trump very, very much, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to put the country first, and I'm going to make sure that we, or what you could do is you could turn around and you could say, I'm just going to stop him at every turn. But he can't do both. And that's what Chuck Schumer's problem is right now. He's trying to do both. He's trying to be the guy who in the Senate reaches across the party lines and then also at the same time says Trump's a threat to democracy and a danger to democracy. And you notice how there's no senators coming out and really taking his side right now. And you got all these people in the House who are against him, but no senators in his own party are really coming to his aid to try to save him from the people in his own party. Why is that? You know why? Because they're all watching and waiting. Yeah, they're watching and waiting to see how this plays out. And the best place you could be right now is a governor who's not up for re-election. I mean, if you're a governor who's not up for re-election right now, then you could turn around and you could say, hey, listen, I have nothing to do with this S show. You know, I got nothing to do with this S show, and I'm just staying out of it. So you want to be Josh Shapiro. You want to be Gavin Newsom right now. You don't want to be Kathy Hochul. She's up for re-election as governor of New York. She's out there saying she's not going to work with Trump. She's going to stop Trump's deportation flights. She's going to be the anti-Trump candidate. Now, the real question, though, is New Jersey. See, there's a governor's race happening in New Jersey, and I'm really curious to see who the Democrats pick to be their nominee. Do they pick somebody who tries to be a sane, reasonable moderate? Or do they pick somebody who's insane and goes to the far left? Because AOC right now is looked at as the leader of the party. If you look at most polls right now, most polls will tell you that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the leader of the Democrat Party. And you turn around to yourself and you go, wait, seriously? AOC? AOC is the leader of the Democrat Party. She's nuts. Yeah, well, guess what? They're nuts. And so it makes sense that nutty people would find a nutty person to be their leader. Like, crazy people aren't going to find somebody who's sane to be their leader. That's why they're crazy people. So they're going to turn around and they're going to find somebody crazy. So Bernie's out there doing all these rallies with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And Bernie's out there bragging that he's got like 30,000 people showing up. When you look at the data and the analyze the geolocation fencing and the tracking and all the other stuff that they do, you find out these are the same usual suspects who go to everything. It's not like you've got a grassroots movement going on here. It's the same people turning around. But the fact that Bernie is now passing the mantle to AOC, I think personally, is a huge mistake. And I'll tell you the reason why. Bernie Sanders won in 2016. Well, he didn't win. The party stopped him. But his movement would have won had it not been for the party, the Democrat Party, doing what it does, which is to step in and to quash whoever they don't want. So you had Hillary Clinton at the time. In 2020, did the same thing. Bernie squashed his movement. But left to their own devices, Bernie might have won the primary. He was catering towards white working class voters. I mean, it wasn't exclusive of other races, but that's where his message was towards. It was white working class voters. And when he didn't get the nomination, those white working class voters wind up going to Trump. A lot of them would have probably voted for Bernie. I'm not saying he would have beat Trump, but you just don't know how that election would have unfolded. But AOC, she's the leader of the Democrat Party in theory. Well, she's the one who gave us phrases like Latinx, lectured men about their privilege, lectured men about their toxic masculinity, how America sucks, Israel's the devil. I mean, this is the squad. This is who they are. Bernie's trying to distance himself from that wokeism. And you got people like Bernie Sanders and James Carville and others who are trying to bring the Democrat Party back to their white working class worker roots. But that's not going to work if you got crazy lefties out there screaming about toxic masculinity and saying, look behind that tree, there's a guy, he must be a rapist, and lecturing men and lecturing about privilege. And that's literally what led them down this road of ruin that they're in right now. And why Senator Kennedy said the Democrat Party, chlamydia is more popular than the Democrat Party. Well, it's true, it is, because there's a cure for chlamydia. There seems to be no cure for the Democrat Party. So I think putting AOC out there is a mistake. She may be attractive in Bernie's eyes, and maybe that's the motivation. Maybe he just wants a hot little number on his side as he goes across the country. But I think if that party has a chance of climbing out of the hole that it's in, it's got to just distance itself from woke completely and move on. But they won't. They won't even distance themselves from biological men playing women's sports. Yeah, they won't do that either. They're still going down that road. And you got to say to yourself, why? It's such a small amount of people. Why would they do that? Why be the party that says we're going to go down the road of standing with bio dudes against women? Like Paula Scanlon's going to be on the show a little bit later today. Why do that? You said you're catering to such a small fringe. Why go down that road? But the reason why is because the grassroots, they vote in primaries. And they're the very same people that are screaming about wanting biological men to play on teams. They might vote in primaries, but their numbers are so small that in a general election, they don't have enough to overcome the suburban woman out there who may hate Donald Trump, but is going to vote for him because she doesn't want a little girl to have to compete against a bio dude. I mean, that's the bottom line. But you have Democrat politicians who are terrified of their own base. When you have a party, and this is something that I think is just a general lesson in politics. When the party is afraid of its own base, that party will lose every election. If the party's afraid of its own base, of making its own base angry, it'll lose. And what you need is a disruptor who's going to come out and be able to go against what the fringe people in that party want and turn around and go, hey, listen, here's the deal. All right, this is not good for us. We can't win going down this road. And you got to be able to endure the slings and arrows of people who are the party leadership or even the diehard voters and somehow survive that process. Trump did it in 2016. He came out to the Republican Party and said, we got to stop being the party of war. Let the Democrats be the party of war, not us. We shouldn't be the party that's invading countries. They get a lot of pushback for that. There were a lot of people in the Republican primary that wanted to stop him for that. But he kept going. He kept pushing forward. You need that to be able to turn the tide on this. I just don't think any of them in the Democrat Party can stand up to the crazies. So if they can't stand up to the crazies, then they're always going to wind up being a minority party. Oh, you know, by the way, what was the most fascinating thing today of everything? And there's a lot of breaking news. There's also a thing about leaked military plans and all this other stuff. But Trump says Lee Harvey Oswald had help in the JFK assassination. I love this. I agree. I really do. I think that a reasonable person can conclude Oswald was probably involved, but that he had help. You know what I mean? I think Oswald was the shooter, but the fact that he was able to get there and was working at the book depository and then was subsequently shot and killed, and you know what I mean? But then when the president came out and said this, and all I kept thinking about was, wow, hey, I wonder, what is Trump seeing here? What is Trump seeing? So let me play this for you. This is cut number 10. This is the president coming days after the gigantic document dump in the JFK files, which reminds us all that we really would like to see the Epstein files. Just saying, like to see the Epstein files, right? So anytime now, whenever you get a chance, we're all waiting. It's like it's seen in Caddyshack. Well, we're waiting. But here's Trump, cut number 10.
You released the JFK files.
Yeah.
Do you think Oswald killed JFK personally?
I do, and I've always helped that.
Yeah.
Of course, he helped? And based on the papers, that, you know, we released 88,000.
I know.
Okay? And in fact, there was some that they needed a little more time. And we said, go over to the office, we'll show you.
Yeah.
So nobody could say, they've been released. I think the papers have turned out to be somewhat unspectacular.
Yeah, right? I think that's true.
All right. And maybe that's a good thing.
Do you think back now, it's only been 8 months since Butler, Pennsylvania, do you think that guy acted alone based on what you've seen, that crazy man? And do you think back to your connection now to JFK, because thank the Lord he missed, but people for the next 100 years would have been talking about that like we talk about JFK?
It might be anywhere. Who knows? I can't really be sure. I really can't be sure.
That was Clay Travis interviewing the president on Air Force One. Very cool opportunity. I mean, that's it doesn't get better than that. A one-on-one with the president on Air Force One. That's probably why the audio quality was not super great there. But he can't be sure that the shooter acted alone in Butler. And I don't think the shooter acted alone in Butler. And I think if you're saying to yourself, well, why should we care about JFK after all these years? I think there's a lot of similarities between JFK and Butler. I really do. And I think the main thing is, I should probably silence my phone here. And by the way, just so you know, I'm in New York. I'm at Fox News. I'm actually in Fela's studio right now. I did America's Newsroom this morning with Dana Perino and Bill Hemmer. I was on a panel with Jimmy Fallon. And then I went on I came back to do my show in his studio, but we're having a little trouble connecting to the Zoom. That's why you don't see me on Zoom right now, but I should probably silence my phone. But no, I think there's similarities here. And I actually truly believe that if you look at the JFK files and you think about Butler, some of the similarities are both shooters are dead, like right after it happens. Oswald lives longer than the shooter in Butler, but he ultimately is shot by Jack Ruby. Everything worked out perfectly to put the president in the line of fire. And everything worked out perfectly for the shooter to be exactly where he needed to be for the president to be in the line of fire. So if there's a part of you that says, who cares? We got bigger fish to fry than JFK files. I disagree. There's too many similarities here between what happened in Dallas and what happened in Butler, PA. Think about it, right? So the fact that the motorcade goes around in Dallas and slows down to 10 or 11 miles an hour, giving a perfect shot for the shooter at the Texas School Book Depository, the fact that President Trump's on the stage in Butler and the shooter's on a roof at a presidential rally that just happens to be right outside of the security perimeter and just happens to be able to get up there is, again, very eerily similar. The fact that Ruby shoots him dead, well, the Secret Service shoot him dead. And, of course, you would. That's protocol. I'm not saying that they killed him to cover anything up. If you're a sharpshooter and you got a guy taking shots at the former and potentially at that time future president of the United States, yeah, you freaking shoot the guy and kill him. Obviously, everybody knows that. But my point is very simple. What you don't want to have is a situation where you just act like these things are coincidental and then just brush it under the rug. They wound up cremating the body of Thomas Crooks, the Butler shooter within, what, 2 weeks of the assassination attempt on President Trump? And we have no idea about his international communications, encrypted messaging apps, overseas messages, foreign countries, Lee Harvey Oswald, Russia, Cuba, foreign governments, foreign overseas travel, overseas communications. There's just too many parallels here. And I don't know. I think that even if there isn't a second shooter, because that was always the big thing with the JFK files, right? Was this notion of there were probably people on the grassy knoll or something like that. What if it really is just a matter of certain people who are able to just allow forces to occur that allow certain things to happen? Because to say that these things are coincidental, I mean, like, you can understand how Lincoln was killed. It was because we didn't have a Secret Service back then. You know, we had a detective from the Pinkerton agency who was across the street at a bar drinking. He didn't want to sit there for the play, so he goes across the street. He thinks Lincoln's fine. He's in his booth, and, you know, you got the most famous actor in America at the time who's able to get up there, and there's no security around the president, so he kills him. It's not that complicated to look back, but for JFK and for Donald Trump, both of them to be literally in the line of fire with a sniper, and then who can maneuver circumstances to enable that to occur is just beyond luck. And that's the part where I come into this whole idea of having help could be somebody who just easily manipulates something here or there. And it isn't enough to rise to the level where you'd say it's a conspiracy. It may not have to be. It could be very simply just moving the perimeter 200 feet. It could be simply just, you know, turning the car around that. I don't know. But the fact that the president believes at this point that Lee Harvey Oswald had help and cannot say definitively that the Butler shooter acted alone says everything. I think that says everything right there. So we'll talk more about that. But I found that of all the clips today I have that, well, that's my second favorite clip. My actual favorite clip today is when Bernie Sanders gets up in the middle of the interview when he's asked a question about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, asked about AOC, and then just gets up and leaves in the middle of this interview with Jonathan Carl on ABC, just gets up and leaves. And he's like, I'm out. I have no time for this crap. I have no time for this. When we get back, I'm going to share that with you. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, Vanaria Dental, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Yeah, Bernie says, I got no time for this nonsense. Gets up and walks off the set when he's asked a question about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You got to hear it yourself to believe it. Don't go away. Trump administration accidentally texted war plans to a reporter for The Atlantic by the name of Jeffrey Goldstein, who wrote a piece in The Atlantic saying that the Trump administration accidentally texted me its war plans. So this is blowing up about the military strikes in Yemen, turning into a huge, huge story. And no doubt it's going to be something we're going to be talking about probably throughout the day today. Jeffrey Goldberg, yeah, from The Atlantic. So I will give you more details. There's stuff about secret chats on Signal and everything else. And so the president has responded to this. It was not Trump himself directly who did this. It was not the president, but possibly people within the administration who somehow accidentally added him. It seems to be like he was accidentally added to this, as far as we can tell. But again, a lot of this is just kind of coming out as we speak right now. Also, too, the FBI has launched a task force to track down and arrest people involved in the latest Tesla attacks. There's more attacks going on Teslas across the country right now. And the FBI is going to be deploying personnel from their counterterrorism division to turn around and say and try to deal with this, because this is political terrorism is what it is. I mean, if like I said, if a guy cuts you off on 95 and flips you the bird and you throw a Molotov cocktail on him, not a good idea. You shouldn't do it. But that's different than if you're throwing a Molotov cocktail at somebody driving a Tesla because you want to send a message about Elon Musk and Doge. OK, these are two totally different things. And I think a reasonable person understands that distinction. Obviously, a reasonable person understands the distinction behind that clearly. So we'll get into that as the show unfolds today, too, because that's Kash Patel is all over this. He's also all over the swatting thing, too. He's not messing around. You know, the FBI director is not messing around with this stuff. The attorney general is not messing around. They know damn well what the left is capable of when it comes to violence, and they want it to stop. It has to stop. It's somebody's going to get killed here, and it needs to stop. But too many Democrats are calling for this stuff right now. But I was teasing you about my favorite clip of the day. My favorite clip of the day is Bernie Sanders just getting up and walking out during an interview. He's getting up and walking out because he doesn't like the fact that he gets asked about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's political future. So without further ado, and we're streaming live on YouTube, so join the fun at 1210WPHT.com, our YouTube page. Here's Bernie, cut 14.
Back when I first came to the Congress and the House, I helped form the Progressive Caucus. We had five people in it at that time. Now they got close to 100. So you got a whole lot of good people. Alexandria is extraordinary. I am so impressed by her work in Congress and her she inspires young people all over the country.
Would you like to see her join in the Senate?
Right now, we have, as I said, just a whole lot of people in the Congress. Okay, Jonathan, thanks.
Wait, I got one more. I got one more. This is important.
Well, no, I ask you.
Okay.
You know, you want to do nonsense? Do nonsense.
No.
I don't want to talk about inside the Beltway stuff. I got 32,000 people.
I was just asking you about AOC because she was out there.
Well, yeah, fine. But I don't want to talk about this. What was the last question?
I was just going to ask you one more question about you. I mean, that's all. I was literally your last.
What is your question?
I mean, it's easier to understand. I mean, I want to ask you about your future. This is the biggest crowd you said. You ran for president twice. This is the biggest crowd you've ever seen. Are we going to see you run again? What's your future?
Now, right now, I am very proud that the people of the state of Vermont sent me back to the Senate with 63% of the vote. Right now, I'm Vermont senator. That's what I do, and I'm very happy to do it. I am 83 years of age, so, and I'm tired.
He's right. Tired. He's very tired, obviously. I'm not going to sit here with your silliness and your nonsense. Your silliness and your nonsense is what he says to Jonathan Karl from ABC News. Look, the reality is it's a reasonable question. You know that she wants to challenge Chuck Schumer, and you're bringing her out there. You're sending the message to everybody that you're on Team AOC. So it's not out of the realm of possibility, and you're passing the mantle to her. You're passing the mantle to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You love her energy. You love her youth. You love her curves. And you're bringing her out there. That's an absolute endorsement. Stop it. She has said she wants to challenge Chuck Schumer. She's already, her circle and everybody in her circle are already doing this. And you're bringing her out there. So the message you're telling everybody is you're on Team Sandy. You're Team Sandy, not Team Chucky. I don't know what else to tell you other than it's very, very obvious from that. By the way, President Trump, and we'll get the audio for you in just a second. President Trump says he knows nothing of the Atlantic journalists swept up in the war plan text chain. So President Trump said today at the cabinet meeting when he was asked, Matt, just find the audio from the cabinet meeting. It is there.
It's ready to go.
Oh, you have it? All right, great. Let's take a listen to the president, what he said. I can't hear it.
AIDS. Have been discussing very sensitive material through Signal and included an Atlantic report for that. What is your response to that?
I don't know anything about it. I'm not a big fan of the Atlantic. To me, it's a magazine that's going out of business. I think it's not much of a magazine, but I know nothing about it. You're saying that they had what?
They were using Signal to coordinate on sensitive materials and
having to do with what? Having to do with what? What were they talking about?
With the Houthis.
The Houthis, you mean the attack on the Houthis?
Right.
Well, it couldn't have been very effective because the attack was very effective, I can tell you that. I don't know anything about it. You're telling me about it for the first time. Anybody else?
Your reaction to the story.
Yeah, so that's he knows nothing about it. All right, so this is what is the big story that's kind of blowing up here, and I'm sure we'll have more details for you before the show ends today, but a lot of this stuff is coming out. It wasn't the president who did it. Goldstein says it was Mike Waltz who accidentally added him to this text chain involving the war plans. But of course, the headline says Trump administration. So immediately when it happened, everybody thought it was President Trump who did it. But it wasn't President Trump. If this did actually occur, it seems to be that it might have been Mike Waltz who accidentally added this journalist to it. So again, we'll keep following that for you. And obviously, it's a big story. But is it like the end of the world? No, but certainly they're going to make it out to be. No doubt about that. The FBI setting up now these these task forces to go and look into all the whack jobs who were trying to destroy Teslas. And they found a bomb, an incendiary device, at a Tesla dealership. So Cash Patel's like, listen, we're not playing this game. All right. We're not going to let people blow up cars and blow up dealerships. And we're not going to do this. And the Texas authorities said the devices, which were determined to be incendiary devices, were discovered. So they're planting bombs now at Tesla dealerships. Think about that. They're planting bombs at Tesla dealerships. The big reason why the Democrat Party's in the place it's in right now, I'll tell you the reason. You know what it is? They're rooting for American auto workers to lose their jobs. Like Tim Walz, for example. Tim Walz comes out and he says that Elon Musk, he's got his unhealthy obsession with Elon Musk, and he wants Tesla. He follows on his phone and he watches the Tesla stock drops, right? And then he has to do a 180 because it turns out that Minnesota's retirement plans are very much loaded up in Tesla. So he's like, oh, I was just joking. Nobody has a sense of humor. First of all, you weren't joking. You were rooting for the company to tank. And people on the left want to see this company blow up. And people on the left are selling their Teslas, their keying cars. But who are you going after? Going after American auto workers. Elon Musk is not the sole owner of Tesla. And besides that point, the guys and gals who work and build these cars and sell these cars, the fact that you have no regard for them whatsoever is why he lost the election. It's why the United Auto Workers didn't endorse you. It's why the United Auto Workers endorsed Donald Trump by not endorsing anyone. See, the de facto non-endorsement was an endorsement of Trump. I mean, you know it was, right? It was the whole thing of like, well, you know, even though we've always endorsed, we're not going to endorse now. But I think you know and I know exactly who we're all about. And like I told you the other day, when it came to a lot of these unions not endorsing for president. And just because, you know, Sean Fain, who's the president of the United Auto Workers, goes with Kamala Harris when his members clearly go with Trump. And then the other unions sit back and go, we're not going to get involved in this, is the reason the workers were with Trump, regardless of the union leadership, regardless of where the union leadership came down. And you just have to look at the way this is playing out with Tesla to understand why. Oh, you're so the rooting for my job to be taken away. Oh, okay, I get it. All right. So they hate Elon Musk, and as a consequence of that, they want to take away my job, destroy my job and destroy my future and my livelihood. Okay, got it. Good. Got it. Understood. See? Do you think that's a party that can recover from the disaster that it's going down right now? No. The answer is no, it can't. That's what's at the heart of this. Look, Bernie Sanders is even praising Trump's efforts on the border. Like, Bernie knows, you got to give the guy some credit here. John Fetterman is playing this game, too. Chuck Schumer doesn't know which lane to go down. But there's parts of this where you have to recognize, too, to just be the party of no on everything and decide with, say, like, violent criminals and rooting for them to stay in the United States of America. Nobody wants that. So Bernie's at least smart enough to figure out that he's gotta be on the right side. There are certain core issues. If the Democrat Party is ever going to win back white working class voters, you got to be pro-job, you got to be pro-factory worker, and you got to be against all the woke crap, and you got to be against illegal immigration. You got to be against illegal immigration. You want criminals gone, you want illegal immigrants gone, you got to be against those things. If you're not against those things, you're going to lose. It doesn't matter. You could be pro-worker, but if you're woke, you're going to lose. You got to be against those other things if you have a chance of winning them back, period. You cannot go out there and say, I'm for the working class, but I'm also for illegal immigrants coming into our country. It doesn't work. You can't go out there and say, I'm for the working class, but I'm going to lecture them if they misgender somebody, if they use the wrong pronoun. It doesn't work. You cannot come out there and say, I'm for the working class, but I'm going to go out there and I'm going to scream that you're not calling me Latinx, which, by the way, is a phrase that nobody uses except Gavin Newsom. It's only white people say that. Latin people don't say that. But here's Sanders recognizing Trump's efforts on the border. Cut 13.
Is there anything that you think Trump has done right?
Yeah. I mean, I think cracking down on fentanyl, making sure our borders are stronger. Look, nobody thinks that illegal immigration is appropriate.
Yeah, that's right. Except for your party. Right. Except for that. Except for Democrats in your party who think that illegal immigration is absolutely fine. And in fact, they want the illegal immigrants to be treated like they're citizens. No, really. Except for that. You know, other than that, nobody thinks that illegal immigration is okay. I mean, except for all the other people who are Democrats. You know, but if you just disregard that, you know, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, you know, did you like the play? Was it good? Did you enjoy it? Did you have fun? Everything was fun? Did you like it? But you've got lunatics in the Democrat Party like Jasmine Crockett and others who are on team illegal immigration. Well, they are. They're on team illegal immigration. And then they don't want to work with Trump in any way. So if Bernie Sanders says that now, he's going to get a lot of blowback. You know who else is going to get blowback? Bill Maher. Because Bill Maher is going to the White House to meet with Trump on Wednesday. Kid Rock set this up. Set this up beautifully. I think it's smart. You know, I've been playing Bill Maher's clips for years. I think Bill Maher says a lot of things. But the one thing about Bill Maher that I just could not figure out was, dude, where's the Trump derangement syndrome coming from? What's with you? You say a lot of reasonable things. But then you go out there with such hatred and vitriol for Donald Trump. You acknowledge the whole craziness of the left on illegal immigration, on transgenderism, on political correctness, on wokeism, on everything else. You speak out against all these issues, but then you go down the road of being anti-Trump. I don't get it. I don't get it. Everything you say sounds like somebody who in the end would vote for Trump, and I wonder if deep down inside he really did. He said Joe Biden was cognitively declined. He called it a cover-up. He said Joe Biden shouldn't run, and yet he came out there and said he couldn't vote for Donald Trump. So now he's going to go to the White House to meet with him. And he's getting all kinds of blowback from liberals who are like, you shouldn't go meet with Trump. You should not go meet with this monster. So he responded to that. Cut 22.
Kid Rock was here a couple of weeks ago, and he said, I want you to meet Trump. He said, I'm going to take you to the White House. So now we're going to do that.
I think there will
be lots of people on the left who will be like, how dare you talk to this man? I was like, yeah. You know, I'm not playing this game with that you mean girls play.
Yes.
Where like, oh, you know what? You can't sit at my lunch table because I'm just not talking to you. Talking to you. You lost the election. Who the f- do you think you have to talk to?
It's
one thing if you win it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's another thing if you lose it.
You got to start talking to people.
Have to talk. And I see Gavin Newsom is doing this now. He's changed his tune. He's got a podcast. And the first guest was Charlie Kirk.
I thought that was...
You know,
I thought that was brilliant.
He mentioned me. He said, like, I'm noticing what Bill does, talks to both sides, like is left leaning, but not afraid to criticize the people on his team. Like, we got to get more of this going.
Well, I'm just going to respectfully disagree on the Gavin Newsom thing. Gavin Newsom is doing this for Gavin Newsom's selfish purposes. And if he has to flip back tomorrow and be the Latinx MAGA-hating lunatic, he'll do it in a heartbeat. The guy is a chameleon of the utmost degree. Now, you, Bill Maher, are different, though. You're an entertainer. You're not trying to run for president. Gavin Newsom's trying to run for president. That's the difference. And you have a lot more in common with Trump than you realize. Gavin Newsom doesn't. See, Gavin Newsom embraced all of the very woke policies we're talking about. It's not that Gavin Newsom's changed its tune. His tune is just that Gavin Newsom wants to win. And the American people don't want what he's been selling that has made him governor of California. He was a woke jackass when he was the mayor of San Francisco, and he was a woke clown when he was governor. And he ran on all those things, and he would lecture people on being homophobic and racist and bigoted, and he supported biological men playing in women's sports. He would go after people for not using the right pronouns, shut down skating parks, have the bulldozers pour sand on skating parks and arrest a guy out there swimming on the beaches of California by himself. Because, you know, you never know. You might give COVID to a jellyfish. Although apparently I learned today that jellyfish oil is the best thing for you. Jellyfish oil, right? I think that's what we were told today. So you see what I mean? It's craziness. But he's full of it. But you see, Bill Maher's different, though. He's a guy who has been against this woke crap, and he may not have liked Donald Trump. Now he's going to go meet with a guy. Probably something he should have done years ago. And I think that they'll have a great meeting together. And maybe he'll stop thinking of Trump as the caricature clown that the left has made him out to be. Because if you dismiss the left's utter BS as being what it is, utter BS, it's not real, then you have to dismiss all of their nonsense when it comes to the caricature they make of Donald Trump. That's what has to happen. And Bill Maher is a smart guy. He's also not woke, and he comes from a generation that rejects this notion that says, if you are on a different political side of me, then you're dead to me, which is something that, unfortunately, we're seeing far too often right now play out in our country. And that has to stop, too. But listen, spring is here. All this rain today, it's good for the grass, right? And it's a great sign. Spring is on its way, and now is the time for you to call my friends at Natural Lawn of America. See, the Natural Lawn of America difference is that Natural Lawn is going to cater to your lawn. That's right, your individual lawn. So let's say, for example, your lawn has certain weeds different from your neighbor's lawn. Well, Natural Lawn of America is going to make sure that your lawn gets what it needs to be able to go and have that beautiful, healthy lawn that you need. And Natural Lawn of America is going to seed your lawn for free every single year. That's right. Every year you get the lawn seeded and it's going to look beautiful. All you got to do is call 1-800-FREE-SEED. 1-800-FREE-SEED. And Natural Lawn of America, with their full service program, is going to give you healthier grass with fewer weeds guaranteed. Save it for your kids, save it for your pets, that beautiful, healthy green grass that you need and you're going to love. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to them today by calling 1-800-FREE-SEED. I have loved the results of Natural Lawn of America. They're a family-owned company, locally-owned company. And unlike these big national chains that just come by and just spray your lawn with chemicals and leave, their approach is safer, organic-based fertilizers, better for your lawn, and the results are guaranteed. 1-800-FREE-SEED. It's Monday. President Trump defending Elon Musk today at the cabinet meeting. And it's good. I'm glad he's defending Elon Musk. And we'll grab the audio of that for you. But, I mean, the key is that he said, you know, Elon Musk has asked nothing of me. He's asked nothing of me. I mean, he's just doing this because he wants to save the country that he's adopted. He was not born here. He was born in South Africa. But now Elon Musk wants to just, he wants to just save America. And there you go. I mean, great. Good for him. And yet his cars are being set on fire and the Democrats are rooting for the destruction of auto worker jobs. So, yeah, the party's a mess. I mean, the fact that they give oxygen to people like Jasmine Crockett and these other lunatics, that's everything you need to know. You know what I mean? Like if the party was smart, they would push them away. If Bernie Sanders was really smart about trying to get going the working class revolution that he was trying for in 2016, he would keep AOC far the hell away from the stage. Keep her a million miles away from the stage. Because she says the kind of vitriol that leads people to want to set Teslas on fire. No, really, it's the same thing. You know, the oligarchy, the patriarchy, the Bernie Sanders says all that crap. But when she says it, she also then adds a couple of other things, too. White people are the problem. Men are the problem. America's colonial past is the problem. Illegal immigration is something America should embrace because of all of our evils around the world that we've done. And who are we to tell people they can't come here? And ICE needs to be defunded and police need to be defunded. And you go down crazy, crazy rabbit hole. Crazy rabbit hole. Now, if you really wanted to win people back, you'd keep her and put a cardboard cutout of her in the parking lot or something, but not let her on stage. If you're really just looking for an attractive woman to be on stage with you, find somebody else. Find anybody else. Anyway, here's President Trump defending Elon Musk today from the cabinet meeting. Take a listen.
People, we're lucky to have him. I have to tell you, I want to thank you all. And Elon, I want to thank you. I know you've been through a lot with this horrible situation that happens.
I'm putting
the cause in there. That's
right.
Saving America.
It's very unfair. What he is a patriot. Here's a man that I can tell you, he's a friend of mine. He's become a friend of mine. He supported me in the election. That's when I got to know him, really. I knew him a little bit from the first term, but not much. But he's a patriot more than anything else. He's never, think of it, he has never asked me for a thing. He could have. I always say, I wonder if he's ever going to ask me for something. And that's always subject to change. And if it does change, I'll let you know about it. But Elon has never asked me for a thing. I mean, I got rid of the electric car mandate. I have no idea how that affects him, but possibly not good. I don't know. But he's never asked me for a thing. And I think that's an amazing tribute. I did get activated last week when I saw what they were doing. I said, he makes an incredible product, and we're going to go out and tell people you can't do that stuff and support him. They got to support him, because if he wasn't doing this, he wouldn't have any of these difficulties. And I think it's getting less and less. Pam has done a great job with regard to all of the, you know, I mean, I know the kind of investigations that are going on. If she finds them, which she will, she already found four of them. But I think they're going to suffer very grave consequences, because they're really terrorists when you think about it. They're terrorists at a high level. And
Yeah, and let's think about the electric car mandate for a second, right? So you got a guy who makes electric cars, and you had a mandate in place that everybody had to buy them. And then President Trump ends that mandate, even though the guy who endorsed him and is now doing all these things for him sells electric cars, and only electric cars. Like, there's no gas-powered Tesla, as far as I know. They're only electric vehicles. That's I mean, and you could argue, well, he doesn't really need the money. True, but the thing about billionaires is that they're always looking to make more and more money. They're driven by something. They have this insatiable desire to keep making more money. And if President Trump on day one had turned around and said, you know what? On second thought, this electric vehicle thing, it's actually a good thing. We're going to keep the ban on gas-powered cars in place. Yeah, I've been thinking about it. It's really, really important to do so. We're going to keep it in place. And then all of a sudden, Elon Musk is showing up everywhere. You turn around and go, oh, quid pro quo. He literally ended the ban on the thing that would have helped people like Elon Musk, who literally only sells electric cars. Because a lot of dealerships, a lot of car companies like Hyundai, which just announced a massive investment in the United States of America today, sell both gas and electric cars. Tesla's all electric. Yeah, Hyundai announced a massive investment in Louisiana. They had Governor Jeff Landry today at the White House announcing this big investment into the United States. But you know, Elon hasn't asked the president for a thing, but Democrats hate him. So I'm just telling you right now, you ask the average American sitting down having a beer after a long day, and you hear the education secretary or the agriculture secretary or any other secretary talk about the kind of crap that they're finding out as they go through DOGE, right? As they go through DOGE and they find out exactly what's in there in all these various departments and agencies, you ask the guy at a bar, hey, do you think that the American taxpayers should be funding things like transgender and queer farmers' food justice programs? They'd be like, what? Say, I'm sorry. So what did you say? Yeah. You work hard. You make your money. You go home, see your family. You had a long day. Are you happy to know your taxpayer dollars are going towards? This is cut number three. Take a listen.
Let me just add to that, and thank you. We just had a wonderful cabinet meeting, all aligned on certainly the effort to realign the government. But even at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, we've canceled a $300,000 contract educating on food justice for queer and transgender farmers in San Francisco. A similar contract we canceled in New York, again, educating transgender and queer farmers on food justice and food equality. I'm not even sure what that means, but apparently the last administration wanted to put our taxpayer dollars towards that. We canceled a $600,000 contract out of Louisiana that was studying the menstrual cycles of transgender men, a $600,000 contract. We canceled another contract out of a university in the middle of the country that focused on getting more diversity, equity, and inclusion into our pest management industry. Again, these are nonsensical. It makes zero sense to use taxpayer dollars to fund these. I know these are just a few examples of the hundreds and hundreds that we have found.
I mean, those all sound like very lofty programs, but just do the simple test. Hey, do you think that $600 million of your taxpayer dollars should go towards studying men's periods? Sorry, what? Yeah, you heard me. Guy's period. Guy's what? Yeah, his special time. His time. You mean like a mood swing? Like we all... No, his menstrual cycle. Do you think $600 million of your money should go towards researching that? His time of the month. His special time. His you know... I'd be like, what? What? Are you drunk? What the hell are you asking? I don't understand the question. What are you talking about? So that's the test. Very simple. You just go to a bar and... Now, but you can't go to like some posh shishi, you know, like Rittenhouse Square. You got to go to a bar where working class people drink starting at like 3-4 o'clock when they're done busting their hump all day because they get started at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning. And go ask them. Sit down next to a guy who's been busting his hump driving around a plumbing truck or an HVAC truck and say to him, do you know that $600 million of your taxpayer dollars were studying men's periods? Like, what? Sorry, not. I'm sorry. Wait, say what again? Yeah, as you heard me. $600 million to study a guy's cycle. You think that guy's going to be happy about that or not? All right, we got more to come in our 4 o'clock hour. Let's find out some of the craziest stuff that was said by the corporate mainstream media over the weekend. We've got a great show still ahead. Jimmy Failla is going to stop by later today. Elizabeth Pipko is going to stop by later today. Paula Scanlon, great guests. Ton of breaking news all around us. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.